Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, Mr. Stevie Mack has entered the building.
Woof woof to the woof woof, yeah!
To get down like we always do Monday through Thursday, and that there is the call time. Be there or be square. Let me give you the calling number. If you're locked in and loaded up from around the world like I know you is, the calling number here is, there it goes, 646-716-6113. Again, that's 646-716-6113. And then there are all the lucky numbers. You call those numbers, you just might be brought on to the air to participate in tonight's show. Man, we got Montel Jackson, Big Mike, and everyone all locked in and loaded up, ready to comment on any and or all the topics we encroach upon tonight. Let me ask you the question of the day. The question of the day is a very important question. I always ask this question. How is your day? Huh? How is your day? I hope your day is as off the chain as mine. My day is always off the chain. If it's ever on the chain, I yank it all the way off the chain, because I'm like walking my dogs off the leash. Today has been a fantastic day. Just got back from the gym. Work it and work it and work it. Let me just say this. If you're in the gym and you're working out, and you decide to cut a loud, earth-shattering fart. And this is not because I did it. I'm saying it for those of you who done it or who about to do it. If you decide to cut a loud-ass, earth-shattering fart in the gym, man, look at him. Look at him. At least look around, and see if there's anybody within the vicinity of the explosion that's about to expulse from your anal cavity. In other words, in layman's terms, check to see if somebody's nearby who's going to be hit by the gas flying from your ass. That's all I'm saying right there. And remember, folks, when we get off into Top News Funnies, Top News Funnies is brought to you by StevieMack.com, StevieMack.com. You can go there and find out where I'm performing at a place near you. And if it ain't near you, request it to be near you. So there's a whole lot going on in and around the world. First and foremost, I'm going to see what's up on the mainframe. On the mainframe, they got watch what it feels like after you wolf down 69 hot dogs in 10 minutes. I'm going to say this. You know those food eating contests? I'm not a big fan of them. I'm not a big fan of them because it's kind of a slap in the face of those who are starving around the world. Now, I'm not on a soapbox or nothing. I know what you're saying, if you got it, flaunt it. But come on, son. Eating 69 hot dogs in 10 minutes. There's some people who ain't got a hot dog in 69 days. They probably ain't never had a hot dog. They eating meal, mush, tree bark, bugs. Well, anything that move is going to get ate. And anything that don't move, whatever they can get their hands on. Our feet, our lips wrapped around. Yeah. So that's why, you know, I'm not, you know, a big fan of it. It's just a gluttonous thing. I mean, come on. Now, you know, I'm not against it. It's just that I'm not for it. You know what I'm saying? There's a big difference between being against something and for something. Man, life is a trip, and it gets you more trippier as we go along. I love everybody. You know what? I had a friend. I wouldn't say a friend. It was an associate. He was a drinker at a hole-in-the-wall club, and he used to get drunk, and he used to go, "My name Apple Billy, and I love everybody." That's what he said. He would just yell that out to whoever could hear it. Yeah, whoever was in earshot of him heard of that. So here's a guy right here, Derek Price. Yeah, and he not only had a barbershop, he ran a strip club out this barbershop. So you can get your hair cut, top and bottom. Super Fades Barbershop. Yeah, you can get your ears lowered and your pants raised. All at the same time, yeah. Now, check this out. That may have been the business model of a strip club, strip bar, that was allegedly run out of a barbershop in Orange County, Florida. Now, undercover agents working for the Metropolitan Bureau of Investigation conducted a month-long investigation of Superface Barbershop before finally raiding the place early Sunday morning. NBI investigator Mike Gibson said the agents visited the barbershop by day and saw it turn into an illegal strip bar every Saturday night. Okay, and this is what he said right here. On each and every occasion, they were serving alcohol, and they had strippers, and not strippers following local law, but strippers that went completely nude. Okay, that's what he said. Along with the barber pole in front of Superphase, there was a stripper pole installed inside the establishment. Now, that would have been a piece of equipment that was there even when they operated during the day while they acted as a barbershop. Now, agents purchased $20 worth of illegal vodka at Superphase early Sunday morning before discovering one of the dancers was a 17-year-old female. Uh-huh. As we were conducting the investigation, we were able to identify one of the dancers being a juvenile, and that led to the need to speed the investigation up. So let me just back up for a minute. First and foremost, how long does it take you to investigate to find out that this place is a strip club, right? Apparently, they was going there every damn weekend, getting haircuts and lap dances for a whole month before they figured out that oh, hey, you know what? We're going to have to bust this guy. Yeah. All right. Because you didn't know, right, that you had to investigate a little further. Honey, where are you going tonight? Oh, I got an investigation I'm tending to. Another Saturday night? Yep. We're staking out this place, this guy, you know. What's he doing? It's a barbershop, and I think they're selling alcohol illegally in the back. We're taking it out. They was getting drunk, getting lap dances and haircuts. All on the house, right, on the taxpayer's dime. And they said because they found out one of them was a juvenile, they had to speed the process up. What? If they would have found that out, it would have took them 5 years to figure out that this was an illegal operation. Is that what they're saying? We would have had to investigate a little longer. Yeah, we're going to have to go down a few more Saturdays. Yeah, we're not going to figure it out until 2016. That's when we're going to figure it out. And it's 2014 now. We'll know by 2016, Your Honor. We're still investigating. Back in the day when I was growing up, I remember somebody had eaten KFC and they thought they had a piece of chicken, but they had a rat. I don't know if you heard about this, but this is a while back. I mean, a lot of that stuff still goes on to this day, but check this out. This happened recently. KFC chicken turns out to be a deep-fried paper towel. Yeah. Check it out. A mother in Newcastle, England was horrified when her stepson bit into a deep-fried blue paper towel. Yeah. Crystal Henderson, 29 years old, and 7-year-old Oliver Hallam purchased takeout from a KFC branch in Killingsworth, according to the news. Oliver took a bite out of what he assumed was chicken, but recoiled seconds later. He pulled it out of his mouth, and when he did, it pulled away the batter. You could see the blue roll inside. Yeah, this is what she said. Henderson said that realizing Oliver had bitten into a paper towel was worse than if he had just been bitten into some bad chicken. Yeah, because, you know, the cold thing about biting into a paper towel, this is what she said. If it was bad chicken, they might have just had a bad batch or something. But the blue roll of paper towel could have been used for anything. It could have been used with bleach or disinfectant. It could have had someone maybe wipe their hands on it. It could have been used to wipe the floor. And I'll interject there, man. Could have been used to wipe somebody's ass. Or a whole bunch of other things that they could have blew some snot in it. All kind of stuff could have happened with that paper towel. That's a cold thing right there, right? But here's the good part, that if it was deep fried, perhaps some of that grease cooked off whatever was bad about it. So anyway, check this out. KFC investigated the incident, right? And they said they sent her an apology letter explaining, this is what they explained, the blue tissue has most likely originated from a tissue roll used for KFC hygiene purposes. No shit, Sherlock. I mean, we could have figured that much out right there. The store assumed it must have fallen unseen into the breading lug that is under the sleeve and was not noticed by the cook. Okay, so wait a minute. The cook didn't notice that he had a big-ass blue piece of paper towel that he was dipping into the batter. Okay, let's see. Here's a wing. Let me dip that in the batter here. Fried up. That's a wing. Here's a drumstick. Ooh, yeah, I know what a drumstick looks like. Let me dip that up in the batter and fry it up. Here's a thigh. Here's a breast. Here's a towel. Wait a minute. A towel? A towel! Yeah, that's what it is. The paper. Don't fry that. Don't put that in the fryer. KFC went on further to say this. We're very sorry for Mrs. Henderson's experience and apologize to her immediately, as well as giving her a refund at the time of the incident. A refund at the time of the incident? How about y'all fork over a couple of $1 million? Yeah, that's what I'd be asking for. Refund my ass. They say, we take food quality and hygiene very seriously, and unfortunately on this extremely rare occasion, our restaurant failed to meet the high standards that both we and our customers expect. We have retrained staff on our stringent food preparation procedures at this store to ensure this doesn't happen again. Gee, I wonder what that retraining went like. Yeah. All right, everybody, gather around here. It's time for retraining of you folks here on our food preparation techniques, okay? Some of the things we don't fry here at the store in the deep fryer. We don't fry paper towels, for one, okay? We don't fry paper towels, no matter what color they are, whether they're blue, white, brown. We don't fry paper towels. We don't fry tennis shoes. We don't deep fry tennis shoes. T-shirts, hairnets, gloves, T-shirts, shirt pants, thongs, or anything else that doesn't resemble a wing, drumstick, breast, back, thigh, or leg. We don't fry anything that doesn't resemble that, okay? So that's how that went down, Billy Brown. Here's a guy who wasn't thinking with his head, okay? All right, I'm going to read you the headline first. Man leaves daughter home with loaded gun to get head tattoo. Yeah, that said it all right there. All right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't using his head at all. Albuquerque father John Ruiz has been charged with child endangerment after police say he left his 11-year-old daughter at home with a loaded gun while he went to get a tattoo on his noggin. What the what? I can't make this kind of stuff up, folks. I'm telling you. Ruiz, 43 years old, was arrested on Saturday after a neighbor saw the girl at her apartment complex pool, around the swimming pool, with a .22 caliber gun under her towel. Okay, so you at the swimming pool. Is that a gun under your towel, or are you just happy to see me? Oh, it's a pistol. My daddy left me home with it. Check this out. Police were called, and the girl reportedly told investigators her dad said the pistol is there in case someone breaks in. Yeah. He keeps the weapon on the counter or under his pillow, is what she told the police. But then you got to ask, what the hell are you doing with it then? Who told you to take the gun down to the swimming pool? She's 11 years old, y'all. Well, anyway, the tattoo Ruiz chose for his head said, this is what he got, in God I trust. Yeah, that's what he got tattooed on his head. You got to get some serial numbers tattooed on it now. Because he was released after posting a $15,000 bail. He appeared in court on Monday and discussed the incident with reporters afterwards. I got to tell you, man, we got Montel Jackson, Big Mike, and Reverend Al come in and comment on that. Is it legal to leave your 11-year-old at home, first and foremost, without a babysitter? And secondly, is it illegal to leave an 11-year-old at home with a loaded weapon in the house? Coming to the show right now, our senior analyst, Montel Jackson, to discuss any and or all of the topics that we covered tonight, one being the KFC frying a towel, paper towel, the other being the man with the gun. And that's a dart at home. Is that legal or is it illegal? Montel Jackson, welcome to the show. Well, listen, glad to be here. Stevie Mac, this whole thing about the guy leaving his daughter at home, I don't know. I'm young. Who am I? Who am I to say? Every state has different laws. The girl was at the house. He told her not to touch the gun. Well, he said it's in case someone breaks in. I mean, is that legal, or should he have safety locks on the gun? I would think so. Who am I to say? What's the law in the state and jurisdiction where he's at regarding firearms and children? That's something to be questioned and looked at. Perhaps Big Mike could answer that better than me. Well, no, when it comes to KFC frying up a blue towel, that's just another reason to get people to go vegan. I mean, you never know. There's all sorts of things out there being cooked up that you don't know until you know. If you don't know, until you know. What do you know? Thank you very much, Montel Jackson. Big Mike, our political analyst. Welcome to the show.
Basically, first and foremost, thank you, Stevie Mac, for having me on the show. And I'd just like to say that politically, looking at the fact that that girl was 11 years old and he left her unattended at the home, some homes have liquor in the home. They have knives in the home, kitchen knives. So anything that contributed to the delinquency of that minor, because she's under 18, is his responsibility as a parent. So sure, if parents have guns and they have them in the house, he left her in a dangerous situation. So basically that's why it was illegal, because he jeopardized her by leaving her in a dangerous situation. Can you leave an 11-year-old unattended without a babysitter? I don't know the laws in that particular state. Some states the laws are varied. Maybe 10 is the limit, but I'm not sure about over there where he's at, Orange County, Florida. In terms of KFC frying up a blue paper tile, that lady has a real good lawsuit on her hands if she seeks to pursue that, because, like she said, you don't know what was on that paper towel, and just the chemicals alone that's in the paper towel is not made for ingesting. And the shock value, that boy who bit into that paper towel could be scarred for life. So basically that's something that they need to deal with. This is Big Mike. I'm astute and I'm out.
Thank you very much, Big Mike. And now Montel Jackson.
Let me just go on it. You ain't got to play the harmonica for me. I said you ain't got to play it.
I just wanted to play it for you.
Anyway, so leaving that girl alone at home and she's 11 years old, a loaded weapon on a counter, supposing she'd have shot somebody down by the swimming pool, he'd be liable for murder. In terms of KFC frying up a blue paper towel, let me just say that ain't the only thing they done fried up over there. That's why I don't even eat at fast food joints anymore. Nowhere. I cook and prepare my food at home or at a restaurant that has a grade A. That's it, and that's all. This is Reverend Al, and I'm out.
Thank you very much. Montel Jackson, Big Mike, and Reverend Al, right on yours truly. All right, here's one for the record books. Man comes to court hiding 19 bags of weed in his sock. Yeah, this happened in Stamford, Connecticut. Authorities say a Connecticut man who told his probation officer he wasn't foolish enough to bring drugs into a courthouse had been hiding 19 bags of pot in his left sock. Uh-huh. Darren Shelley had a hearing on Monday in Stamford Superior Court on the charge of possession with intent to sell, but the case was continued until another date. Authorities tell the news that the 22-year-old Stamford man reeked of marijuana when he met with his probation officer. Now, when the officer asked about it, Shelley allegedly said he was not a fool and did not bring drugs into the court. But the officer says a pat-down revealed the bags of pot He was being held on $5,000 bond. He faced the possible revocation of his probation on charges of risk of injury to a minor. Check this out. He had 19 bags of weed in his sock. Either he had on some big-ass socks or there was some little old bags of weed. How do you get 19 bags of weed in your sock? And what you doing with that much weed in the first damn place? Just one bag of weed ain't enough. You got to have 19 bags. And 19, how did he come to that number? Why not 20? Why not 18? 19 bags of weed in his sock. He was stupid, apparently, telling his probation. I'm not stupid enough to do that. Yeah, yeah. You did it, didn't you? World's dumbest criminals, let me tell you. Real-life Goldilocks, Chancey Layton, accused of burglary and theft. Real-life Goldilocks. Yeah, Chancey Layton, dubbed the real-life Goldilocks, is facing charges of burglary, criminal mischief, and petty theft after police say the 19-year-old woman entered the home of a couple in St. Augustine Beach, Florida, where she took a shower, ate some food, and fell asleep on their couch. Ain't that about nothing? Layton allegedly told police that a friend informed her that the balcony door to the home would be unlocked. She entered it around 9:30 p.m. while the couple was out. Now, the friend, who she knew only as Jeremy, knew the balcony would be open because before Layton arrived, he allegedly broke in through the back door, stole two bottles of wine, and left the door unlocked. I mean, they just ransacking these people's house, huh? He done stole some wine. She done come over there and ate, took a shower, probably took a crap in their toilet. The residents allegedly found Layton sleeping on their couch around 2:30 a.m. in the morning, right? Not what I expected to see when I walked into my house, is what the homeowner, Gerald Patos, told the news. There was lots of bottles of wine that she drank. She was clearly not in a clear state. I told her I was calling police. As soon as I said that, she grabbed a few things and ran out the house, out the back door. However, the girl allegedly left her passport behind. Yeah. When Layton was arrested, cops say she was wearing the clothes of one of the home's residents. Elaine allegedly told officers she went into the home so that she could escape and be alone without having to sleep outside. Police noted that she was apologetic and wanted to return the homeowner's clothing. Listen. Okay, first and foremost, she was stupid as hell. You took your passport to a burglary, huh? Yeah, who does that? Who takes their passport? Let's see, I'm finna go break in the house. Let me grab my passport. Yeah, because I'm going to need that. Yeah, I might need to get it stamped. Then ate up the people's food, drank up their wine, fell asleep on their couch, and wearing their clothes after taking a shower in their shower. Woo. Yeah, that's a real-life Goldilocks for sure. They should call it stupid locks. Whoop, whoop to the whoop, whoop. No. You can file this one under redonkulous. I'm going to read you the headline first. Woman sets home on fire trying to kill a spider with a lighter. A woman in Hutchinson, Kansas, is charged with arson after police say she set her home on fire during an attempt to kill a damn spider, okay? Jenny M. Griffith, 34 years old, told officers she used a cigarette lighter to set some tiles on fire around 1:30 in the morning Friday. She was hoping to catch the little arachnid with the flaming tiles and burn it to death. She's trying to burn a spider to death with some burning tiles that she done set on fire with a cigarette lighter. It's unclear if she ever caught the spider, but the fire that resulted did necessitate intervention from the fire department. Mm-hmm. Five units were summoned and managed to control the fire, which they said had multiple points of origin, which means she set up various points of the house on fire, okay, within a matter of minutes. Griffith's aggravated arson charges stems from the fact that the other half of the duplex was occupied when the blaze began. No one besides potentially the spider was injured in the fire, and the building only suffered light smoke damage. Now, in case anyone was still unaware, fire is not a great method of home pest control. Check this out. A Florida man had done the damn thing. He burned down his apartment trying to kill bugs with fire. And back in 2013, a woman in Texas burned her house down while trying to light a snake on fire with gasoline. And back in 2012, a California woman set her house ablaze trying to clear spider webs with a blowtorch. Okay, folks, so let that be a lesson to you. If you see bugs, don't use fire. Fire is not a good way to put them out. It's a good way to put your ass out on the street to become homeless trying to get a damn spire. Stop that! In the words of Dr. Phil, stop that. What you need to do is stop that. Here's a drunk lady who rode a stolen horse to rob a store. What is this, the 1800s? She rode a stolen horse. First she stole a horse, and then she went to rob a store. Yee-haw! Ride him, cowboy! That's all I can say for her. Here's a man who impersonates a deputy during a test drive. And his mugshot looked like he's a desperate fiend at the end of his rope. Yeah, well, that happened right there. Here's a guy who catches ladies stealing his stuff. They say watch, so he has a video on him and all that stuff. Check this out. Domino's charges a teen $300,000 for a pizza. What the hell do they have on that pizza? Platinum and diamonds? That's all I want to know about that right there. Here's a phone lost in Oklahoma, found in Japan. Yeah. Here's a dude, check this out, in the world of stupid things. Here's a dude who fell asleep during a Yankees game. He's suing for $10 million. So these and more stories coming up. Here, let's go ahead and get right off the back, okay? Right off the back. Let's get this one right here. This dude who fell asleep and suing for $10 million. Because you want to know. I know you want to know. I want to know. A disgruntled Yankees fan who was caught sleeping, right, through a recent game against the Boston Red Sox is suing after two announcers poked fun at his slumber on camera. Oh. Don't you give up all your rights when you go... To a game, you know, you go to the ball game, they have the fan cam and all that stuff going on. Don't you give up your rights when all that's happening? Check this out. The New York Post reported that Andrew Robert Rector filed a $10 million lawsuit against Major League Baseball, ESPN, and announcers Dan Shulman and John Crook for allegedly directing a mean-spirited avalanche of disparaging words after he fell asleep in the stands during the game on April 13th. Now, Rector's oddly worded filing accuses the announcers of painting an inaccurate portrait of him, specifically one of a fatty cow that need two seats at all times and represents symbol of failure, as he writes in his lawsuit. Wow. The lawsuit also says the comments presented Rector as a confused individual that neither understands nor knows anything about the history and meaning of rivalry between Red Sox and New York Yankees, and a socially bankrupt individual. Rector claims he was subsequently defamed and is now suffering from emotional distress. Yeah, everything means something. In fact, you know what, man, last night, I got caught all the way up, player. Yeah, I did. I got caught up. And I'll tell you how I got caught up. It all started with me watching a YouTube music video. You know, you start watching a YouTube music video. I have some certain videos I like. You know, I like to hear certain videos. So I go on YouTube and listen to them, like, for instance, Fine China by Chris Brown. I love that song, man. Oh, man. Baby, baby, to you. Radio broadcasting live here out of Hollywood, California. Hey, we do it like this every now and then again. Weekly, we have new uploads, man. Be sure to listen to everything we got locked in and loaded up for you. I'm getting down a whit of the get down. This is how we do it. Check us out on the next exciting episode. There's a whole lot to listen to in the archives. Man, we got over 1,522 shows and counting for you to listen to. So, man, we appreciate you coming along for the ride and slippity slide. Do it.
and we will see you on the next one. Go ahead and click StevieMac.com, and you're going to find out where I'm performing at a place near you. And if it ain't near you, request it to be near you. Stevie Mac, and I'm out.